Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thank you for joining us as we study God's Word together. It is our prayer that as we look into God's Word together, each of us will become like Jesus and He will be glorified. Today, we're looking at the first section of Colossians 4. As you can see, we are nearing the end of this short, powerful book emphasizing the supremacy of Christ. We will look at verses 2 to 6. Pastor J. Mark is here to share the first part of this teaching with us.
Spoken language or words is very important to us as human beings. God spoke words to create the world and to communicate with humans. And because we're made in God's image, you and I can also communicate with words. And God referred to His Son Jesus as the Word, the Logos. This Word, Jesus, was sent to show us the person of God the Father. John said it this way, "The Word became flesh and lived among us." So I conclude that words are also essential to God. We all use words to convey our thoughts, our desires, our ideas, our intentions, and more. We lose so much when we're not able to communicate with words. Oh, I know we can express simple desires and convey our emotions through our facial expressions, or through tears or body language, through posture or gestures. And sign language is beneficial for people who can't hear. But you know, it's still not the same because you can't hear things like tone and inflection and other variables that are part of our speech. Someone once said, communication is an art, and that's true. Words are just one part of communication, but they're an essential part. Simple words can be like a child who draws a stick figure. We can tell whether the figure is a man, a woman, a child, or maybe a pet, but there's very little detail. As a person develops a larger vocabulary and begins to understand the importance of context, it's kind of like an artist adding details to canvas on their easel. The painting presents a richer, fuller, and more detailed picture than any stick figure drawing. As we continue our journey through Paul's letter to the Colossians, we've come to chapter 4 and verses 2 through 6. This is just a short text, but it is a rich one that reveals another facet of how the preeminence of Christ influences the way that we as Christ followers should live. Now, if we believe, as Paul so clearly teaches in this letter to the Colossians, that Jesus is preeminent, that He is first in power and rank and position, and that He is supreme over everyone and everything, then we will understand the necessity of sharing this vital truth with other people. To convey this message, we need words, and we need words they can understand. So I've titled our study, Getting the Word Heard. This will be a two-part teaching, so I hope you can join me for both parts. As we begin our study, here are Paul's words from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each one. This text contains several elements you and I must consider if we want to be effective in getting the Word heard. And the first element that I see is communion. Now, immediately, you might think I'm talking about the Lord's table and the commemoration of Jesus' sacrifice. Maybe you think of unleavened bread and grape juice or wine that represents the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. But that's not how I'm using this word in this context. By using the word communion, I'm referring to having fellowship with God through prayer. We know God desires communion with us. He desired it so much that after Adam and Eve sinned, He went looking for them in the garden. He looked for them, the scripture says, in the cool of the day. That suggests this was a time when they previously enjoyed fellowship together. So Paul instructs the Colossian believers to continue in prayer, communing with God. Some Bible translations add the words steadfastly or earnestly, because that idea is implied in the original wording. So this prayer isn't just a brief giving of thanks before a meal or maybe something like a child's simple memorized prayer. Those certainly have their place, but this is different. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul counsels believers to pray continually. However, I would say, too many of us, including myself, only pray occasionally, when we feel like it, or especially when we need help. What role does communion with God have in making sure the word gets heard? Well, I can think of several ways that our communion with God affects that. First, as Paul has taught throughout this epistle, it reminds us of our complete dependence upon God. James tells his readers in his epistle that one reason they don't have what they need is that they don't ask. That's James 4:2. You can check it out. Too often we fail to ask God because we rely on our own ability. And then another reason our communion with God affects getting the word heard is that it helps keep us focused on why we're here. It keeps us alert to what's happening around us and to opportunities to witness. I read the testimony of a surgical assistant who prayed for a job with spiritual significance, and he was shocked when God led him to a position in the field of plastic surgery. He wondered, "Why, God? Why would you want me in such a hotbed of vanity?" But during his times of communion with God, the Lord reassured him that he was in the right place and that he should wait upon him for his direction. So he obeyed, and he continued to pray that the Lord would use him in his job. He felt led by God to begin a prayer meeting among his co-workers, and so he announced that each Monday, 15 minutes before the start of work, he would be in surgical ward number 2, and anyone who wanted to could join in prayer for their workplace and for their fellow employees. Now, when he first started, the gathering was very small. But it grew, and by the end of the first year of praying together, 10 of his friends had placed their faith in Jesus for salvation. And additional prayer groups were formed throughout the hospital. Why did that happen? Because one man listened to what God told him in his time of prayer. And then think, too, of Paul and Silas in jail at Philippi. They were in communion with God, praying and singing. And when the prison doors flew open, they didn't say, now what do we do? No, they didn't even see an opportunity to escape. Instead, they saw an opportunity to share Christ with the whole prison population, and that included the prison keeper and his family. That led to the establishment of a local church in the town of Philippi. When I was a child, my parents taught me to close my eyes when I prayed, and I know why they did that. They wanted to help us eliminate distractions. But Paul seems to suggest that we pray with our eyes open. Now, I know that can mean our physical eyes, such as when you pray while you're walking. But more importantly, I think he's referring to spiritual perception. In our praying, we are to watch, we are to stay awake, we are to be vigilant. And you know, this command is stated several times in Scripture. Another reason to be watchful in prayer is because we are easily distracted. Jesus, if you remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, warned the disciples to watch and pray so they wouldn't fall into temptation. What was the temptation Jesus was warning them about? Well, first of all, it was the temptation to fall asleep when they should stay awake. And then, in addition, the temptation to respond incorrectly to the events that unfolded later that night. You remember how Peter, using man's reasoning, lashed out with his sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And why does Paul request their prayers here? That God would open a door of opportunity for him to preach the gospel. Paul's request leads me to another critical aspect of how our communion with God helps in getting the word heard. Let me introduce this idea with the following verse. It says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." Now listen. "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. In our praying, we can ask God to push back the God of this age that Paul referred to in the verses I just read. The God of this age may express himself in various ways, but ultimately, he's Satan. He's the one who fills people's lives with distraction. He is the one who blinds people's minds to the truth. He's the one who tries to keep them in the darkness of superstition and fear. And he's the one who stirs up family and friends or even the government to oppose them when they pursue the truth. But through prayer, we can petition God to remove that blindness and open the hearts and minds of those who are hearing the gospel, especially those who are hearing it for the first time. That way, when the gospel seed, we might call it, when the gospel seed falls, it falls on heart soil that has been broken up and prepared to receive it. You know, I don't think we realize enough how crucial our prayers are in the salvation of the lost. Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians while he was sitting in a Roman prison. We learn more about that in the closing verses of this chapter. But he isn't moaning and groaning about his imprisonment. Instead, he's asking his brothers and sisters to use their time of communion with the Lord to pray for him so he will have opportunities to share the gospel, opportunities for the word to be heard, and then for personal boldness when those opportunities arise. You know, the testimony of that surgical assistant convicts me. So often I fail to see the opportunities that are right under my nose for getting the word heard, and part of it may be because I forget to commune with God as I ought to. You know what that young assistant did wasn't huge, just a 15-minute prayer meeting every Monday. And yet God used that to bring people to faith in Jesus and to impact the entire hospital. And notice, too, Paul's emphasis on thanksgiving once again. Our prayer and our watching should be bathed in thanksgiving. You might ask, thanksgiving for what? Thanksgiving for access to the throne of Almighty God. What a privilege. Thanksgiving for answers to prayers we've prayed in the past. Thankfulness for God's ability to give us what we need rather than what we want. And you can add to that list. So what is God saying to you in your communion with Him? Or have you neglected those times? Remember what James said? We don't have because we don't ask. I genuinely believe that our communion with God, or the lack of it, has a profound impact on getting the word heard.
Thanks, J. Mark. This is so true. If we want to get the word out, we, as God's people, must have communion with Him. The challenge is real. We need to spend meaningful time with God. This responsibility is up to us. God is always available, but do we make time for Him? And when we are with Him, are we fully present? Or are we distracted by all our other responsibilities? Communion with God is major. Hopefully, you can join us next time as we look at the other ways to effectively get the word heard. If you have any questions about today's teaching, or if you want to contact us, here are a few ways you can reach us. A good one is email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can find our website and message us online. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. Once there, click on the Contact Us, which is on the top right. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Thanks again for being with us today. This brings us to the end of our program. I leave you with this example from the life of Jesus. In Mark 1:35, we are told he got up very early in the morning, went to a solitary place, and prayed. Jesus clearly made time for prayer. May you and I do the same.